On Thursday, I flew down to Nashville, Tennessee for a Association of Presbyterian Church Educators National Conference, a gathering of church educators, pastors from all over the country, a couple thousand people. I was been asked to speak at the Presbyterian Publishing Corporation's breakfast on Friday morning, early Friday morning. Not my best time of day, but they wanted me to introduce the book that just came out this past week of mine called Making Space for the Spirit, 100 Simple Ways to Nurture Your Soul. So I was able to launch that with the talk and then a book signing later in the day, Friday evening, and able to fly home safe yesterday. Who would think that Nashville would be snowed in and everybody panicking about the weather? And I'm saying, in Chicago, we know how to handle those things. We have the equipment. So it was nice to fly back to Chicago out of the snow yesterday afternoon. On Friday night, as I was signing books at the book signing, someone came and set a book next to me and said, would you sign this to your second favorite pastor? And I looked up and realized that the man standing there was the youth pastor from my church back in California 30 years ago, the one who first suggested that I go to seminary and follow a career into wherever God led me that way. So it was really very exciting to see him and a number of other people that have been part of my faith journey through the years. So you just never knew who will show up at those things. But it's good to be home. And our scripture lesson this morning continues. We've been reading through Corinthians. We've read through chapter 12 and heard a sermon on the spiritual gifts of sharing with one another and all being members of the body of Christ. At the end of that passage in chapter 12, which we heard last week, I'm going to read just the last verse from chapter 12 and then from chapter 13, which is a passage that we often hear spoken at weddings. But it is really a passage that speaks about the love that God has for us. Join with me in prayer. Send, O Lord, your Spirit upon us all, and silence in us any voice but your own, that in hearing your word we may become your glad and your joyful people. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of God. Paul writes, strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a family with three daughters. Their names were Faith, Hope, and Love. Faith was the first daughter born. When her parents held their newborn baby in their arms, they declared that never had there been such a perfect baby. And they were right, of course. Faith grew into a delightful child. She was gentle and cheerful. She trusted everyone. Everyone felt happy when in her presence. Faith lived in the present, taking each day as it came. Faith could do anything. Some said that Faith could move mountains if she so chose. Everyone loved Faith. When their next daughter was born, the happy parents named her Hope. When they held their newborn baby in their arms, they declared that she too was the perfect baby. And they were right, of course. Like her older sister, Hope was an ideal child. It was in her nature to be constantly thoughtful and caring. Hope lived for the future. She believed that anything was possible. Hope inspired others to keep trying, and she was the first one to encourage someone to try something new. Hope gave people the ability to believe in themselves. And everyone loved Hope. Then a third daughter arrived. Her parents named her Love. This time there was no doubt Love was the perfect baby, and she kept that perfection with every day that she grew. Love was patient and kind. She never minded when she had to wait for her sisters to finish in the bathroom before it was her turn. When good things happened to Faith and Hope, Love didn't mind. She felt no envy, just joy in their success. Love was polite, always minding her manners and treating everybody with respect. She didn't have a rude or envious bone in her body. Whenever the family tried to make a decision about where to go for dinner or what to do on family vacation, Love offered her opinions, but never forced her beliefs or desires on anyone else. The happy parents declared that they had the perfect family. And they were right, of course. But as Faith, Hope, and Love grew older, something began to change. Faith and Hope grew weary, living in the shadow of their perfect sister, even though they loved her very much. They felt they could never live up to the patient, kind, polite, and humble sister named Love. Faith, who had always trusted everyone, began to have doubts. She found herself becoming anxious about little things. When her mother got a cold, Faith thought for sure she would die, even though her mother was better within a few days. When Faith made plans to go out with her best friend and then the friend canceled, Faith was certain that her friend must not even like her anymore. Faith wilted with the stress, but she would not tell anyone what was wrong. Hope, too, had her share of difficulties. The girl who had always looked to the future with bright expectations started dreading what might come next. She fretted about what the next day or week or year might bring. She no longer had a heart to encourage anyone, least of all herself. Hope began to fade, but she too kept her feelings to herself. Family and friends noticed that Faith and Hope weren't quite themselves anymore, but nobody did anything. After all, they still had Love. Then something began to change. The change came in Love. She watched Faith struggle with her doubts. It disturbed her, not only for Faith's sake, but for her own. Love had depended on Faith to teach her trust. Without Faith, who would keep love grounded in the joy of each new day? Love watched Hope wrestle with her fears. Love felt deep concern, not only for Hope's sake, but for her own. Love had depended on Hope to encourage her to try new things. Without Hope, who would keep love anticipating the joy of what was yet to come? But love kept these things to herself. She grew thin and tired and rarely smiled, but she never complained. She bore it all, endured it all, for that was just the way she was. Faith and Hope saw the changes taking place in their sister. They knew that love suffered because of their sorrows. Their envy and despair wilted and faded when they saw the pain that love was in. So Faith and Hope consulted with each other. They had to find a way to bring love back to life. One afternoon, Faith and Hope went to their sister's room. They carried with them a soft cloth purse with something inside. They knocked on Love's door. Love, of course, let them in. She was lying in bed in her nightgown, gazing out the window. Faith and Hope noticed how pale Love had become over the past months. Faith sat on one side of the bed and Hope sat on the other. Love smiled and wept. She was so happy to be with her sisters. Faith handed the cloth purse to Hope. Hope reached inside and pulled out a mirror. "Look in the mirror," Faith said to Love, and Hope held up the mirror. Love looked into the mirror. Through her tears, her reflection was blurred, and she could not see herself clearly. Faith put her arm around Love, and Hope did the same. "Now look into the mirror," they said to their sister. This time, when Love looked into the mirror, she saw three faces: Faith, Hope, and Love. Suddenly, the whole world looked crystal clear. "I have missed you," Love said to Faith and Hope. "When you were happy, I was happy too, but while you have been hurting, I have been hurting too. Why did you back away from me?" "We were afraid," said Faith. "We thought you didn't need us," said Hope. Love looked startled. "Of course I need you, both of you," she said. I cannot live without you." "We need you too," Faith said. "Without you, I can move mountains, but what does it matter? With you, we can climb those mountains." Hope agreed. She said to Love, "Without you, all my dreams sound like clanging noises. With you, my dreams become beautiful music." The sisters sat with their arms around each other for a long, long time. Thus, Faith and Hope recognized their deep need for love. They knew that without love, their lives were hollow and empty. And Love knew that she could not fully live without Faith and Hope. So Faith, Hope, and Love abide to this day, all three. And though the greatest of these is love, love knows. Love knows. Love is indeed the greatest gift that God alone can give. But Faith and Hope must also thrive for love itself to live. You pray with me?